Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 3rd, 2015, and with me today, Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes. Thanks for having me, man. I'm happy to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. It's also great to have Kelly Goumont. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well. A lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous.
That's what I hear. Word on the street. Yep. So, all right. There's a couple things that I wanted to talk about today. And let's just jump right in. The first thing is a piece that you wrote today, Dave, where you posit that the Apple TV sorely needs to have universal search as a feature.
Yeah. So let's explain what universal search is in case this is not an obvious thing, right? I'm going to do it by way of example, because Apple TV does not have it now, but TiVo does. In fact, we talked about it in the last episode of July. I was talking about how much I like TiVo's universal search, and they call it OnePass. So the idea is, right now on the Apple TV, if I want to watch, say, the X-Files, what I do is I look at this big, long, chiclet list of all my video providers, and I guess at which ones might have the X-Files. You know, the sports thing, yeah, probably not so much. ESPN, no. But HBO, probably not. Hulu, yeah, maybe. So then I dig into Hulu, and I use my remote to painstakingly type X-Files, only to find, no, in fact, it's not there. And I keep doing this. Maybe Netflix has it. And so I go in there, and I check. And I keep doing this until I either find it or I'm blue in the face and stop. That's current search, and it sucks. On TiVo, it used to be that way too, right? You know, it's because TiVo has supported accessing this stuff since before the Apple TV even existed. But you had to do it that same way. Well, in January, TiVo introduced something called OnePass. And what OnePass lets you do is you go in, and instead of picking your provider channel first or your provider path first, you simply search in TiVo for X-Files. You get to type X-Files, but you only have to do it once. And then you choose it and say, I want to watch the X-Files. And it brings up this whole interface that shows you every season of the X-Files and every episode in every season. And then once you go and select and say, I want to watch, you know, season one, episode one, I want to watch the pilot, great. It then shows you what sources have that episode available. And it might be that, you know, if you've got HBO linked up, that's not going to show up. If you have Hulu linked up, that's not going to show up. But Xfinity On Demand might show up if that's your cable provider. Amazon Prime might show up because they have it there. Vudu, however we pronounce V-U-D-U these days, that might show up if that's there. Right, whatever you've wired up in your TiVo as providers that you have access to, it searches all of them and then shows you the ones that have that particular episode. Some may be for pay. Some may be free as part of whatever your subscription with that service is. It doesn't matter. You get to pick it. And then the best part is, once you've watched the episode, your TiVo remembers that you've watched that episode. So it doesn't matter what source you use to watch it. You don't have to manage all of the stuff there. You just live inside TiVo and say, okay, great, I've watched episode one. Now I want to watch episode two. And the same is true if it happened to have been on and you told TiVo to record it. And of course, OnePass is now the way that you manage season passes and all that on TiVo. It doesn't care. It knows that you've watched the episode and you're done. So this is, you know, we've all talked a lot about Steve Jobs mentioning in the Isaacson book, or Isaacson mentioning in the Steve Jobs book, I guess is a better way to say that. Steve Jobs claimed to have cracked the code for what the user interface for a TV was like. And I only hope that this was part of it. Maybe there was more, but this really is the right way. As soon as we got this OnePass thing for TiVo, it was like, ah, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. Why did we have to do it the other way for so long? And so I really feel like now that that particular Pandora's box has been opened and enough of us have experienced what this universal search can be like, Apple has to have it. It's not just a nice thing. They have to. Otherwise, they're at the bottom of the list right now with the Apple TV.
They absolutely are.
You know, and so they've got to do something. They've got to do lots of somethings to get it right. And this is one of those somethings that it's just, it's mandatory. And my guess is, and like I said, John Pechkowski wrote an article yesterday that said that, in fact, it is coming. I would expect that he is right for many reasons, not the least of which is Apple's also got smart people working there, and probably some of them have used TiVo. So even if they didn't think of this on their own, even if this wasn't Steve Jobs' way of cracking the code, somebody's used it and either come up with something even better, hopefully, or they're just going to implement this. And so that's great.
Yeah. And this is also amazing because if you have TiVo, you presumably probably have a cable provider. And if you do, then this has been my favorite bit of the OnePass is you can also pick up recorded episodes of the same thing. So, for example, a couple of months ago, because it's been a recent addition, you could get the new series of Doctor Who, you know, Doctors 9, 10, 11, and 12. You could get Doctors 9, 10, and 11, all of their stuff on Netflix, but the latest season, the one that finished up late last year, hadn't been released to Netflix yet. So I could record them from BBC America, and that when they show them, because every once in a while they have a Doctor Who marathon, and then I can watch either the streaming episodes, which I sometimes watch again because Mr. Kelly hasn't seen everything yet. So sometimes I'll watch one with him, and then sometimes I want to watch the ones that I haven't seen yet, which is Series 8. And so I'm able to flip back and forth between them however I want to. Or if you have HBO Go, it's also a really good one. Like if you have a season pass for something, and the one that we use at my house all the time is Game of Thrones. So I can record Game of Thrones as it happens, you know, as it's broadcast live on HBO. And then if they talk about something on HBO, all I have to do is go into that folder on my TiVo and I can go, oh yeah, remember they talked about that in series two. Let's go, we can go watch part of that episode and see if you remember what they're talking about. So it's super, super, super convenient. And I'm 100% with you on this, Dave. Now that I've done this, like the first time I saw it, I went, this is an Apple thing. Why can't I do this on my Apple TV?
Yeah. Every one of us in the house had that same comment that, wow, this is a very Apple way of doing it. It's fantastic. Yeah,
it's glorious, especially because a remote control interface is not the greatest. And so only having to type something once is even handier. And, you know, this just feeds into my theory years ago when they initially released the Apple TV that looked like a Mac Mini and had the hard drive in it. When they first released that, my first thought was, why didn't Apple just buy TiVo and turn TiVo into something awesome? And now years later, TiVo has turned into something awesome all by itself. So now Apple has to compete with that, because really that's the thing in our house. We had a Series 2 for a long, long time until not that long ago, maybe June, I think, was when we got our new TiVo. And so Apple TV is really going to have to compete. Now that I can do all this stuff on my TiVo, my Apple TV has gotten a lot less use. So I can't, because they're hooked up to the same television. So I'm going to be very curious to see what comes with the new Apple TV, to see if it turns into something that earns a place in my house. I really want it to. I want it to be something great. And I really want to be able to do things like this and have it be really a good experience.
You know, when Apple TV first came out, universal search wasn't really a necessary thing. And that's
because there was nothing to search.
There was nothing to search. And then eventually we started getting more services that we could get content through in our Apple TV. And over time, we hit the point where universal search became really necessary, but it hasn't been there yet. What I'm betting is that Apple knew that they were on the path to make this happen, and they were just waiting until they got to the point where we are now. So the hardware that is rumored, very likely to be announced next Wednesday on the 9th, that's the point that Apple was going for when it added in the universal search feature. So I agree. I think it's something that is sorely needed on Apple TV, and I'm betting we're going to see it on the 9th. That would make me very happy. All right. So now, actually, speaking of the 9th, I was talking with one of my listeners for the show. Hi, Terry. It was great to chat earlier today. And he brought up a question for me that I want to pass on to everyone else, because I'm actually really curious. And he was wondering, are people going to skip buying a new iPhone this year because the iPad Pro is supposedly going to be announced next week? And are they going to be buying an iPad Pro and keep their current iPhone for another year? And it's not something I had really thought about until he asked me. And now I'm curious, listeners, what are your plans? If Apple rolls out an iPad Pro for us next week, are you going to skip getting your new iPhone so that you can get that instead? Let me know. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can let me know via email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can also let me know in the show notes for today when you go and check out the article on the TMO website. So please let me know, because I am really curious what you guys are going to do. All right, which takes us to the next thing that I wanted to talk about. And this is something that you have been pining for, Kelly. And this is an updated iPod Touch. What's up with that?
Well, I got to thinking about it because I had noticed we use iPod Touches. We use them, whatever you call a collective number of them. We use them at App Camp for Girls. And that was what got me thinking, because there are a fair number of people who had iPhone 6s, and the 6 compared to the iPod Touch was very different. When everyone had a 5S, a 5 or a 5S, and they were the same size as the Touch, it wasn't really that dramatic of a difference. And one of the things that I noticed was that the layout can be a little different on a 6 than it can on a 5, and that means the iPod Touch. And I remember that a lot of people, when the iPod Touch was still sort of in lockstep with the phones, where every time we got a new phone, we got a corresponding iPod, it was super handy for people who were on subsidized contracts and maybe were indie developers who couldn't afford $800 or $900 for a phone every year to buy them off contract. And so what they would do in the off year is just pick up an iPod Touch, because it was, you know, $300 or $200, and be able to have a device with the right dimensions, with the right new hardware, with a nicer camera, you know, sometimes. So making those things happen was super useful. There's a ton of utility in something like that. I know people who use the iPod Touch basically as their international phone, because they use a Skype phone number and pay for Skype. And then between the Skype subscription and having and making sure that there's Wi-Fi everywhere when they travel internationally, they basically have a phone, because you can leave messages at a Skype number and all that other sort of regular stuff. So there's a lot that you can do with an iPod Touch. I mean, it's sort of funny to think of it as an iPhone that doesn't make phone calls when you think about the amount of time you actually spend making phone calls on your iPhone today. So I did notice that when we went to the 5S, there was no nudge to the iPod Touch. And then when we went to the 6, to both sizes of the 6, the megaphone and the super ultra megaphone, that we still didn't get a new iPod Touch. And then in July, we got some new colors and the motion processor that counts your steps. So while useful, and you know, while it's useful to make sure that there's an update there, it's still sort of disappointing, because if they made that update in July, we're probably not getting new ones next week, which kind of bums me out, because I feel like it's still a really important device in Apple's lineup, and it should get some love. It should get sort of the credit it deserves for being something that still holds a place in a lot of people's lives. And if you need an extra device around the house, you know, you have one that all the kids share, or you have somebody that wants to FaceTime a lot, but maybe an iPad for whatever reason is not the right choice, you could get them an iPod. I know people who picked them up and used them as universal remotes, because everything has its own app now, and you can use it with the Harmony Hub. And you know, now you can control everything from anywhere in the house that you have Wi-Fi. And those kinds of things are unbelievably useful. And when you can unburden the technology from Apple, from a cell phone contract and having to be tied to that thing for 2 years, it becomes an even more attractive device. So I really, really hope that the three devices we know we are reasonably certain are going to get updated next week that run iOS are the iPhone, the iPad, and the Apple TV. And I really hope that the fourth one that runs iOS, the iPod Touch, actually will get some love as well, even if it's just a new size, because it's still a good developer machine and it's still a good way for people to test out, like, is something in that form factor a good decision for me? And I really want to see the love given to that, you know, just like the Apple TV. I waited a really long time for an Apple TV update, and I don't want to have to wait as long for the iPod to get a nudge as well, because the iPod is not a hobby and I will always have a soft spot for the iPod. It was actually the thing that brought Mr. Kelly, it took a while, but it was the thing that brought him over to, like, maybe things that Apple makes are a good fit for my life. And it started with the 2 gig iPod Nano, because they finally made a black one. He wanted one for a long time, but didn't want a white one. Mm-hmm. And so the iPod is what eased him into it. The iPod was sort of what brought Apple back. You know, people thought that little gumdrop Mac that they made was so adorable, but wasn't a real machine. And the iPod was a thing that you can point to that really helped change Apple's fortunes in the technology world. And I really deeply want for the iPod to continue down that trend. I know that the Classic is gone, so this is the one I have to hang on to, and so I'm hanging on to it.
You know, I get what you're saying, and I can see the argument for a bigger iPhone or iPod Touch. But at the same time, as I hold my iPod Touch in my hand, and as I have seen some of the kids that cross paths with me on a regular basis hold my iPhone and then hold the iPod Touch, I'm like, you know, having that smaller size is really nice, because when you have smaller hands, like little kids,
mm-hmm.
it's lighter, it's thinner, it's smaller, it's easier for them to use.
Right.
So does that mean Apple should make two iPod Touches, the one we have now and then a bigger screen model?
Well, you can get the Nano, which is a smaller one and is flat and rectangular and has a touchscreen.
But you can't play video games on it.
That's true. Well, what I really want for, like, if I ran the zoo, here's what I'd do. What I want to have happen is I want to have two sizes, a smaller one and then a larger one, whatever that is. And maybe the smaller one is still 5S sized, but gets some attention. And, you know, because I don't know anything about the new sizes of the new phone. Nobody knows. And anyone who does know isn't saying for another week. So what I really want to see happen is that there's maybe a 5 size and a 6 size, like we have with the phone lineup. There's, like, the big one and then there's the bigger one. And I would like if we had that option in the touches as well. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But that's what I would like to see. Is so for people who want the larger size, they have that option. And for people who want an iOS device as close to a phone as possible that they don't have to pay for cell service for, that needs to be a smaller device, they can still get something in the iPhone 5 size, the tall phone size.
All right. We are pretty much out of time. But Dave, I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in on this too.
Yeah. I
can hear that. That's cute, Kelly. It's really good to want things.
It is good to, yeah. How does it feel to want? I don't think it makes, the touch makes a lot less sense now than it used to. So I would not be surprised to see it kind of fade away. The only thing, though, that might be the saving grace for that is there is currently no iPod other than that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the Touch is the only iPod that will play Apple Music currently.
Yes.
And that's because it needs an online connection to authenticate you and make sure that you have the rights to play the songs that are there, and yes, perhaps some other technical limitations, but that's certainly step number one. So there is need for a connected device. Now, it's important to note that the iPod Nano has Bluetooth in it, so it mm-hmm. could have Wi-Fi, right? I mean, they are wireless devices, but need a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I don't know, man. You know, the Touch, I feel like its time has passed, and I think the sales show that. So, you know, a lot of kids are getting phones nowadays. It's not uncommon. So,
yeah. A lot of kids get hand-me-down iPhones or even brand new iPhones.
Or even brand new iPhones. Yeah. It's insane. So, yep. I don't know. I don't see a huge market for it, but anything's possible. So, well,
one thing that I think would come in handy would be if the capacity got larger, if for no other reason than a lot of people who bought iPod Classics, the silver fronted slab at, 120 gig, if they could make an iPod Touch at 128, it might upgrade some of those people. They might find it a compelling thing to pick up and then, drop in the Jockey Box, which is where my iPod generally lives. So, but mine's only 80, so I haven't felt the need to upgrade because 80 gig is more than enough for me to drive around in the car. So that would be a thing that I think might maybe help it along, is that for some people, this might make it an attractive option because they've held off on upgrading because there was a capacity problem. So maybe if they could overcome that, that would be pretty neat.
All right. We are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up yet again. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well. It's always great to have both of you on the show. Listeners, thank you for being here too. And let me know, are you guys going to forego new iPhones for an iPad Pro? I'm really curious to hear what your plans are. And hey, we'll see everyone again tomorrow.